Good afternoon. So last time we were talking about so-called page table trees, this idea that the page table is a data structure for the hardware. It's how we tell the hardware how to translate virtual to physical addresses. And it doesn't need to be the whole picture of what a program's memory is, and in most OSs it isn't. We can have some other data structure that the OS keeps track of that says what's logically in this program's memory. And what we tell the hardware doesn't have to agree with that all the time. And when there's a disagreement, that's okay, because we'll get notified as the OS. The OS gets notified, and it can fix that disagreement. So we saw an example of this with allocate on demand, that we don't need to fill in all the page table entries for something like the stack in advance. We can just wait for the program to try to use one of them. And the hardware is going to tell us, hey, I looked at your page table entry, it wasn't valid, what's up? And we don't have to say, oh, the program must have screwed up. We can do a little bookkeeping and say, oh, well, what probably happened is I told the program it had tons of tax space, but I didn't actually allocate it yet. Let me fix that. Let me allocate it, update the page table, go back, and then the hardware will see what's supposed to happen and go on with the access. The program won't know anything happened really, because it's just going to rerun that instruction and it will work. And it just ran a little slow at a weird time. And we also saw we can use this for sort of tricks that are maybe a lot less intuitive. Like we saw this copy on write idea, that instead of making a copy, like fork promises, so when we make a call to fork, the promise is that we've made a full copy of the program's memory. We can instead say, I'm not actually gonna do that as the OS. I'll just remember I was supposed to do that and mark all the page table entries as read-only. And this means that the processor is gonna tell me if the program ever tries to write to one of those pages. And if it does, at that point I can actually copy that specific page, make sure the program, you know, actually can write to that memory that's supposed to have been a copy, that as far as the program knows is a copy, but wasn't actually a copy until it needed to be at the last possible moment. And we can also use this for, we saw nmap, so that we can like make it look like you're accessing data in a file, your address space, by just making sure our copy of the file that we load is at a location that we also put in your page table when it's loaded. And if it's not loaded, well, we just make that invalid and load it when you try to access it. So then we talked about storing our page tables in memory. So we mentioned our page tables are going to be pretty big. And they're big enough that we can't like just have like a bunch of registers to put them in on the processor. We're going to want to store them somewhere else. And our strategy is that we're going to figure out a way of encoding each page table entry as an integer. And we're going to have an array of integers somewhere in main memory. And we'll just tell the processor, here's where that array starts. And the processor will do array lookups using that base address and the virtual page number to figure out what entry in the array to access. And because we have this kind of standardized encoding that the processor chooses for page table entries, we know how to convert our page table entries with the valid bit and all the permission bits and the page number into a number, and the processor will convert it back to valid and permission bits and page numbers in the same way, provided we're all consistent. Questions on those things we covered last time? Okay, so we're all good apparently. So last time we went, so let's do an exercise to remind us about our, so we did an example, this is a different exercise. A little time to work through it. And my first step would be, well, maybe two things. So one is I have this page table base register. That's here. And I know our page tables take up one page, which is equal to 8 bytes. I know it's 8 bytes because it says right here. So this is our First, this is our page table. And this virtual address, I can write that as binary, which might be more convenient later on. So it's going to be 010010. I wrote it this way because we have 6-bit virtual addresses, so I wrote it using 6 bits. Because that's going to be the most convenient form given our virtual address size. Who'd like some more time? A few people? Okay. So, my first step, as I said, is I wrote out the address in binary, since that's going to be useful. And I also figured out, oh, this is where my page table is. This is the entry with index 0, index 1, index 2, and so on. I know those entries are 1 byte because it told me in the problem. And maybe something else you want to figure out early is that, well, my pages are 8 bytes. 8 is 2 to the 3 bytes. So that means I need 3 bits to figure out where on a page I am. So my page offsets are 3 bits. And if you remember, whenever we split up addresses into a page offset and a page number, those are everything that's not the page offset, that's the page number.
That's fine.
Okay, so anyone still want some more time? So I'll do my, I have a prepared slide for this. So, first step is I take my address, write it out in binary, and I know that we have 8-byte pages, and therefore the bottom 3 bits of our address, because we have 2 to 3 byte pages, are our page offsets. So that tells me that this is our page offset, and the rest of this virtual address is our virtual page number. Our virtual page number is our array index in our page table. So I'm going to look at index 010, also known as 2, and to do an array lookup, I take the beginning of the array and I add the index times the size of the thing in the array. So that's my calculation on this line here. I'm computing the address of the correct array element. Another way I could have reasoned about this is I said, okay, my page table starts here. 1 entry, 2 entry, 3 entry. Index 2 is the 3rd entry because we start at 0. Either way, we find out that our first page table entry is at address 22 and has the value D1 as an 8-bit integer. But we don't want it as an 8-bit integer. We want to decode it as a page table entry, which has the like valid bit, page number, and maybe some other fields. So I'm going to consult my information in the question here, where it told me, here's what this processor expects page table entries to look like. I'm going to use this format. And the 3 most significant bits are my physical page number. Then I have a valid bit. Then I have 4 bits that do something else that apparently isn't relevant right now. So to deal with that, I take my D1 and I write it out as binary. And I know these first most significant 3 bits, those are our physical page number. So our physical page number is 110. And following that is our valid bit. And we check that the valid bit is 1. If it's not 1, we stop right here. Don't pass and just say, this should run the OS instead of doing anything. Fortunately, it is valid. So we can take our page number and assemble that into a physical address. So all our addresses are going to be a page number and a page offset. So for a physical address, I want a physical page number. And our page offset, we're just going to copy from our virtual address because translation doesn't change the page offsets. They just stay exactly the same. So I end up with this address 110 and 010. If I convert that back to hexadecimal, that's address 0x32. I can look that up in my diagram here, and that is what we're accessing, is this byte here. So that's going to be, if the program is trying to read from the address, we return that byte. If the program is trying to write to that address, we modify that byte. Okay. So questions about this process? Yes. Does the virtual page number for 0x12 come into play at all? Yes. So this 0x12, that became that 2 here.
That's not the page offset?
That is not the page offset. It indeed is not.
Okay. Where would that be?
Where was the page offset? So the page offset was at our last step here. So yes, in this case, both parts of the address are the same. The example we did at the end of last lecture, they weren't the same. So if you want to not be confused that way, look at that example. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Other questions? Okay. So if you've looked at the schedule, we have a page table assignment coming up. And I'm going to talk about that assignment because it's a big assignment and it's people get confused about some things about like sort of how it works at a high level. So in the assignment, we're going to have you kind of simulate page tables. We could imagine an assignment where you'd actually implement like page tables for like a real processor. That's kind of annoying to set up because we need a whole bunch of other operating system stuff for that to work. So we're going to kind of simulate this in a normal program. This means in our simulation, the virtual addresses are going to be the arguments to your functions, and our physical addresses are going to be the actual addresses of your program. So if we think of what's really happening, it's like we're kind of adding a layer of virtual memory on top of the normal virtual memory in our OS. You know. And we're just doing this because it's not, you would not appreciate an assignment where you dealt with the real page tables because of all this operating system bookkeeping and debugging stuff you need to deal with. You know, we don't want to have that overhead. So that's the premise of the assignment. And you're going to implement this interface. That we're going to have two constants that we can configure. One is the number of page offset bits. And this is going to determine the page size, sort of page size, and the page table size. And we're also going to have a number of levels of page table. So far, we've only talked about having one level of page table, and the first part of the assignment only deals with one level. We'll have, as sort of our final topic for today, will be what multiple levels means, and that will be in the second and third part of the assignment. So we want to have a simulated page table-based register, and we're going to use this global variable that you have to call PTBR. You cannot rename that. That's the name we're going to look for. That's going to represent our page table-based register. And this is going to point to a page table that's going to be an array of page table entries that are used by these two functions, translate and page allocate. So the translate function does the process we just did. It takes the page table-based register and a virtual address and converts it to a physical address. Remember, our physical addresses are normal program addresses. The virtual addresses are the ones we pass into these functions. So it's going to do that translation, reading things from the page table that PTBR points to. We also want you to implement a page allocate function. So the page allocate function is going to take the role of the OS, that if you wanted to set up space for the program at that address, you need to fill in the page tables to make that happen. And the page allocate function is going to take a virtual address, and it's going to do all the work needed to make that virtual address translate later on, which could possibly mean setting PTBR to a non-zero value for the first time, and or filling in page table entries to mark them as valid and allocate memory for that. So let's look at what the translate function does, and I'm going to give examples with a particular value of PO bits and levels, which happens to be the only one you're required to implement for part one. So let's say, before we call translate, and we'll do this in some of our tests, we will initialize PTBR to point to a page table. And I've represented the page table kind of pictorially. Obviously, there's a specific format it has. We'll talk a little bit about that in lecture, and it's detailed in the assignment. And you're going to take addresses, and you're going to return either this all ones value, because the tilde operator is flip all the bits. You remember from CS01, hopefully, or whatever course you took, but tilde is equals complement is flip all bits. So that's all ones. And you're going to return that when the page table entry is invalid. So the valid. So in this case, this address here, this is, has address is VPN 0 offset 0xFFF. So we look up VPN 0 in the table. We find out it's invalid. doesn't matter what the physical address is, we're going to return the 01s value to indicate it's invalid. For the address 100, that's VPN 1, offset 0. So we're going to return an address with physical page number 9999 and offset 0. If we have 1001, that's VPN 1, offset 1, we take the physical page number, same one, 9999, add an offset as 1, 9990, and so on. So notice that, you know, like this function is just preserves the offset bits, except when we have the case of returning that all ones value to indicate error, nothing valid. Questions on the translate function and what this is doing. Yeah?
Will the main levels
go on? For part one, yes. Levels will be one. We will talk about how multiple levels work, and you will have to implement it, and it is a lot of the actual work in the assignment. So we also have this page allocate function. So this function is going to make some address we pass to it valid. So for example, if I pass any address that's part of virtual page number one, it needs to make it so there's a page table that's valid, and the page table has an entry for virtual page number one. So if we start out with the page table base register being the special value 0, null, this function needs to allocate a page table and fill in the entry for virtual page number one and fill in all the other entries as invalid. If we already had a page table, we'd only fill in the entry for virtual page number one and leave the other things unchanged. And the assignment requires you to allocate all memory using the POSIX memaline function. You may not use malloc, you may not use other calloc, you aren't arrays, you have to use POSIX memaline. And the reason why we're using POSIX memaline is because when we allocate something to put in that page table entry, we want it to be a whole page. If I just malloc 4,096 bytes of memory, it might be half of one page and half of another. And that's not acceptable because that's two different physical page numbers. We need one. So POSIX memaline is a function that can let you get some memory that's only in one page, if you call it correctly. That's why we require it. We also require it because our sort of grading infrastructure expects you to use it. So how does POSIX memaline work? And I'm going to talk about this because this is a point of confusion, because this is where we talked about pointers at the beginning of the semester. This is part of why. So this is what all the POSIX memaline looks like. POSIX memaline returns an error code. That's not a memory location. So I'd say, gosh, it's a memory allocation function. How do I get the memory I allocated? And the answer is that you're going to pass in a pointer to a pointer to fill in. So here I have a pointer called result, and I've passed in a pointer to that pointer. And when POSIX memaline doesn't run out of memory, it's going to fill in result for me and return an error code that indicates it was successful. And I'm going to look at result to actually be able to access the memory that it just allocated. I also have two other parameters I supply. I have this parameter called alignment. The address it allocates is going to be a multiple of the alignment value. So if you want it to be a whole page, you probably want to pass in the page size here. So we'll allocate either 0 times the page size, 1 times the page size, 2 times the page size, 3 times the page size. You know, those are the addresses it can choose from. So if you want a whole page, you pass the page size for the alignment. And then we have the size of the allocation you want. And the reason I'm pointing this out is that, like, the thing people have trouble with is that, yes, what you would consider malloc's return value, like the pointer, that's coming through the result parameter. It is not returned by the function. The function returns what error happened, you know, which is usually going to be no error, but might be like out of memory or invalid argument. And there'll be a specific integer that represents those types of conditions. Questions about the POSIX Memoline interface? Yeah?
If alignment has to be a multiple page size, does that mean what happens if like we're trying to allocate memory or something that's like less than a page size?
So the question is, can you set alignment to less than size? Absolutely. That's not useful on the assignment. But in which case, alignment says the allocation needs to start at a multiple of that number. So for example, I should be able to allocate like 64 bytes with an alignment of 4096, in which case it will be, the address it starts at will be a multiple of 4096, and then there will be 64 bytes I can use there. That answer your question? But in the assignment, it turns out it won't be useful for alignment to be bigger than size. Yes, back there.
If you want to allocate more memory, how do you guarantee that it's in the same page?
Question, if you want to allocate more memory, how do you guarantee that's in the same page? You will never need to do that. In the assignment, it turns out you will always allocate whole pages and never parts of pages. And that's how we'll avoid that problem. And that's, in fact, how real operating systems avoid that problem, is that they generally only allocate multiples of the page size. Usually one times, sometimes more than one times. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Other questions? Okay. So the assignment has multiple parts. So the first part is you implement translate or page allocate, and with levels equals 1, PO bits equals 12. And the other parts, you need to have both of them working with all possible, well, all legal values of levels and PO bits. The assignment has some restrictions on them, but we support a lot. So the assignment has like two weird things going on. So it's in three parts. Most of the grade is for the third part. So if I believed in students, I would only have the third part be submitted. But I know that if I did that, it would be a disaster. So that's not how it works. And we do, in fact, give some portion of the grade for the first two parts, but most of the grade is for the third part, and it is weighted like it's more than two assignments worth of grade. Yes, question. What's the percentage? I believe it's 25% of a normal homework for the first two part, each of the first two parts, and 2.5 times a normal homework for the third part. But the third part, we're regrading again the things you should have done in part one and two. Like, there's some additional requirements for part three that are in part two, but like the idea, like if I could trust students to schedule their time well, I would just have only part three do, but that is not how things work in practice. So I need to have some amount of grade for the first parts, or else people will just not start the assignment in any reasonable time. The other part is that this assignment, we have a code review in lab, and you need to submit code before the lab that you have in that code review. That means that deadline does not allow the usual late policy, because you're supposed to submit what you're actually showing people in lab, so we know how things changed between the lab when you do that. And the lab code review is like a special allowed collaboration on the assignment in a very specific way. So that does not allow that does not have the normal late policy, because, you know, the purpose of that submission is mainly to make sure we know what you had at the code review. Questions about deadlines? Yeah?
Not deadline, but does translate or page allocate?
So it says translate or page allocate. Yeah, so for part one, only one of those functions needs to work. I would advise that just getting part one done and ignoring it until Tuesday before the code review is a very bad idea. There is a reason we have a whole full week between those deadlines. So note on the format in the assignment. So in the assignment, we have a very particular page table entry format we specify. In that format, the least significant bit of a page table entry is the valid bit. And the upper bits are our physical page number. And we'll assume our physical page number is the whole 64-bit value that we're using size T's. Those are 64 bits on portal. And the page number sort of ends at the page offset bit. So here, these bottom bits, this is PO bits worth. And this happens to have the property that the place where physical page numbers are in page table entries is the same as where they are in our simulated physical addresses. That is deliberate to make things easier. And in fact, is something that you'll commonly see done in real processors to make it easier for OSs. So in our virtual addresses, we'll have a page offset in those PO bits, and then we'll have our virtual page number. In our physical addresses, we'll have our physical page number and then our page offset. Something you might notice here is I marked that a bunch of bits are unused in our virtual address. So we're going to specify in the assignment how big the page tables are. And it will turn out that because they're only so big, we can't use all the bits in the bits that are available hypothetically for a virtual page number. And like real processors, the way we're going to deal with that is that the upper bits won't be involved in the translation. Questions on our page table entry format and how it corresponds to sort of our simulated physical and virtual address formats. And as far as what the assignment is doing, have this diagram to like maybe make more sense since this gets people get confused, is that we're going to have this global variable that represents our page table base register. And for the translate function, before we call you, like when the translate function can do something useful, it's going to point to a page table. And this page table is going to have some starting address. In this example, the address is 10000. And that's going to be an array of page table entries. And how do we do an array lookup? We take the base of the array plus the index times the size of each array element. In our assignment, page table entries, the array elements are 8 bytes. So I take my virtual page number, that's my index, times 8, and I'm going to get a page table entry. And we're going to decode a physical page number and a valid bit out of that. In this case, it's valid, so we want to go to that physical page. And if we go back here, well, we're going to take our physical page number and add a page offset to get the starting address of the page, and this page starts at offset 0. So one way I could do that is I could take 0x20 and an appropriate number of zeros. That's equivalent to multiplying by the page size, like that shifting in that number of zeros equal to the page offset. Those are just equivalent operations. That this is here is 0x20 times page size is 0x20 shifted over by the page offset bits, because the page size, remember, is, and the page size here is 2 to the page offset bits. So if we have, for example, 3 offset bits, our page size is 8. And if we shift by 3, that's equivalent to multiplying by 8. So that gives us the base of the page, and then we're going to add the page offset. And that's what our translate function does. It returns that final address that's represented by the red line at the top there. So So questions on this view of what our translate function you're going to have to implement does. So you also have to implement page allocate. So the way that's going to work is that the first time you call it, PTBR is not going to point anywhere, and then you're going to allocate a new page table. So you're going to allocate memory for that. And initially, you're going to make sure all those entries are invalid, but then we're going to fill in one of those entries to point to some new memory. And that's going to set things up exactly. So if I go back to the previous slide, translate would well work, even though there was nothing set up before. And on a later call to page allocate, you're going to already have the page table allocated, but the entry for that particular virtual address might not be, and you're going to fill in that entry and allocate some new memory for it. Some questions on our page allocate function assignment? And sort of a relating what the assignment does to a view, right? This is our translate, like, is doing this process, except we have to find the page table with the page table base register. Our virtual page numbers are potentially pretty big. And instead of triggering an exception, we're going to return this all ones value to indicate it's invalid. And in the allocate function is going to fill in that page table. So if there's no page table, first the allocate needs to set it. And if the page table entry is invalid, it needs to fill it in. It's doing all the work we need to make translate work on that address right afterwards. Okay. And that's where I'll finish my talking about the upcoming assignment. So before I do that, any questions? I'll just be talking about other things for the rest of class. Okay. So let's talk about big page tables. So we talked about storing page tables in memory, but that's not going to be enough work to make page tables efficient. As a concrete example, my laptop and my desktop have 39-bit physical addresses and 48-bit virtual addresses and 4K pages. So if we do some math, and I'll just do this, show the time, then that means we have 2 to the 48 bytes of virtual addresses divided into 2 to the 12-byte chunks. So we have 2 to the 36 pages. And our physical page numbers take up 39 minus 12, 12 page offset bits, 27 bits. So we need like at least 4 bytes for a page table entry. If we look at what the processor manufacturer actually decided for my laptop and my desktop, the page table entries are actually 8 bytes. 4 bytes wasn't good enough for them, and they didn't want to try to do 5 because the math gets really wacky, so they went up to 8. So if we just stored that as a big array, that would take up 2 to the 39 bytes for each page table. And remember, we have a separate one for every process that we're running. And 2 to the 39 bytes, that's half a terabyte. So obviously, we're not doing that. I am not lucky enough to have a laptop with half a terabyte of RAM. Don't think one's commercially available. So we're going to need some way of saving space. And our key intuition for saving space is that most page table entries are invalid, and we don't need to store all the invalid entries. We only really care about the valid ones. So we're going to choose a data structure other than a simple array that doesn't require us to store invalid entries. And if you remember your DSA, you can probably think of some great ideas for doing this. And historically, when I've asked people for ideas, the first one a lot of people come up with is hash tables. I don't know if we still teach hash tables as well as we used to when 2150 was around, but when people really liked them. But hash tables are a great idea. And some processors use that. It turns out this strategy did not win. There's some like practical complications which mean that this is not the strategy that was chosen, even though, yes, you can make it work, and it's not horrible. So if hash tables don't work, there's the other data structure you probably might remember from a DSA class for key value, and that's trees. So we're going to have some sort of tree data structure. But it's not going to be the search tree you're used to. Like, you're used to a binary search tree or maybe an almost binary search tree. We're going to do something very different than that. And this is because we have some very different constraints that we don't see in the sort of normal world of data structures. And there's kind of two issues. So one issue is that the lookup for these page table entries is implemented in hardware, and we want to make that hardware really simple so we can make it really fast. So this means that we don't want to do any complicated math while we're doing our lookup. Like, you know, even like comparing things, that's complicated. We don't want to do that. So we're going to design our lookup so the lookup is super simple. And most of it is going to be splitting up address bits, which we can do in hardware by just having some wires that are some bits of the address go somewhere else. We don't want to like do division and modulus or even like less than. It's not going to be acceptable. The other issue is we don't want to have many memory accesses. So doing two memory accesses, which is what our sort of page tables so far, or one-level page tables have done, that's already pretty bad for performance. We want to make that minimally worse. And if we think of like a traditional binary search tree, right, we're gonna have like log two of the size accesses. That is way, way too high. So what we're going to do instead is we're going to have a tree that is really fat, where each node has not two children, not like three or four children, but 1,000 children or hundreds of children. And that's going to make it so we have a low number of accesses. And we want it to be really simple to figure out which child to use from our tree. So that's going to be a lookup based on some bits of the address, which means it's going to be a power of 2 number of children. And we're going to call this, the resulting data structure, multi-level page tables. And this structure here, this sort of root node of the tree, it's going to work exactly like a page table. But we're going to have two little differences. So one is we're going to look up with something that's only part of the virtual page number. And we're not going to get the actual physical address of our data. We're going to get the physical address of the next level down. But otherwise, it's going to be structured like a page table that we've seen before. So here I'm going to show this with two levels. It turns out that for something like my laptop, two levels isn't enough, so they do 4. There's some systems that do 5 or 6. But our basic structure is we have the same page table idea, but rather than each entry representing a single page, in this case, it represents a chunk of pages, in this case, 256 of them. And well, of course, that means that that entry isn't enough to tell us about the actual data for that. So instead of pointing to the data, it points to another page table for that subset of pages. Now, if you just look at this, you're going to say, gosh, didn't we just waste more space? Like you told me, it took up too much space, and now we're adding an extra layer of tables, and we still have this last layer that has just as many entries as our flat table did. Like, where is the savings? And the answer is, the savings is going to be that when we have big ranges of invalid pages, we'll just mark the first level as invalid and won't bother making a second level table for them. So in this example, I'm saying that all the virtual page numbers from 100 to 2FF are invalid if we had a one level table. So to represent them with our two level table, we just have two entries that say there's no second level table for these. Just if you're a processor accessing those addresses, just go to the OS and say, couldn't find it. And that's where we're going to get our space savings. And this works because, as I said, programs have these big chunks of unallocated memory, like between the stack and the heap, for example. So our first level table going to look exactly like the page tables we've seen already, except we have a physical page number that doesn't represent where the program's data or code is. It tells us where the next page table is. And each row doesn't correspond to a single virtual page number, it corresponds to a range. And more specifically, we're going to make it so we can take the upper bits of the page number and use that to look up the correct entry. We're just going to make it so when we're looking up in these page tables, we just do subset the virtual page number bits. And that's going to make it really efficient to implement this. We're not going to do any like division and modulus to find it. And that means our sizes are always going to be powers of two to make this possible. So for example, if I have page 301, you know, I'm going to know, oh, that's OX3, that's this row. And that tells me I want to first check if it's valid, yep. And that tells me to keep going in the lookup, I'm going to look at physical page number 33454. And in there, I'm going to have another table. And that table here might look like this. And because I found that table by looking up the entry for 300 to 3FF, I know index 0 in the table is 300, not 0. Because remember, I found this table here. So I know it only contains addresses that start at 300. So the table is 300 to 3FF. So index 0 is 300, index 1 is 301, and so on. Or, put another way, I'm going to only use the lower bits when I look up in this table. I know the upper bits match what I found in the previous level. I don't need to pay attention to them anymore. So then, if I was looking up 301, you know, I check this entry, I find out it's valid, and that gives me the actual page number where the program's code or data is. And we can still have invalid entries just as usual because, you know, just we don't necessarily have all these virtual page numbers allocated to real memory at any time. So questions on sort of our basic two-level page table structure? So let's go through what this lookup looks like. And I'm going to try to show sort of this lookup in a couple different ways. So one way we can show this is that, you know, it's going to be similar to the a diagram we've seen before for looking up in memory, but with one level, we're going to do it out with two. So here I have my address, and I have a virtual page number, and a page offset. And I'm going to split my virtual page number into pieces. And in this example, the pieces are equally sized. In some real cases, they might not be, but here they happen to be. You want to know, how do I know what size they are? You have to ask, what's the format of the page tables? Like, how big are they? But in this case, they're equally sized. And we're going to take the first part, the most significant part, and that's our first index into a page table. And where's the first page table? Well, that's always going to be based on the page table base register. And I'm going to do an array lookup. So this, I assert, is an array lookup. So if you think of, you know, we have, I guess I should say, like a, so if I do pointer equals ptbr, you know, to a page table entry, I'm doing pointer of VPN part one. That's what that logic is doing. Why does that work that way? Well, we take the base of our array and we add the index, VPN part one, times the size of elements in the array, or PTE size. So that is just an array lookup. That's what that represents. And that array lookup is giving us the address to find the array. We have to actually retrieve the array element, which is our page table entry. And when we get that, we're going to check, is it valid? Is it, are the permission bits, do they say the access is okay? And if they don't, we're going to stop. We're going to say, hey OS, what's going on here? You know, this address, the program accessed it, it wasn't valid, or it was read-only, and it was trying to write. What do you want me to do about that? If it doesn't cause a fault, if it is valid, we're going to keep going, and we have another level of lookup to do. And we have to take the page number and convert it to something that's compatible with our array lookup operation. We're going to do another array lookup. But to do that array lookup, we need a base address that's the address of the first byte of the page table. But that's not what was in our page table entry, it was the page number. So I need to convert my page number to the beginning of that page. And one way I can do this is by multiplying by the page size. We can also treat this is the same thing, just like we saw with the assignment, as shifting by PO bits. So I'm adding a zero page offset because I only have a page number, I need a physical address. So another way of looking at this is that, you know, my address for my lookup needs to have a physical page number and a page offset. So this operation here is filling in the page offset with all zeros and copying the page number from the entry, this is a page table entry. Now I can do that by multiplying, by shifting, it's all equivalent. So once I have that base address, I'm doing this array lookup, which looks exactly the same as the first one, just with a different starting address and the index from a different part of the virtual address. But we're basically repeating the process, the same process we started with, just with different inputs. And we're going to get another address of a page table entry. And since we only have two levels, this is going to be our last one. So we take that page table entry out. We check if it's valid. If it is not valid, then we might cause a fault. We're going to say to the OS, hey, I can't do this. But if it is valid, we get a physical page number. And we're going to combine that, concatenate it with our original page offset, just like we did for the one level lookup. And that's our final address that the program was trying to access as a physical address. Okay, so questions about this whole lookup process? Yes?
Where it says PTE size plus, you have a circle and you have a word that says something in a lookup.
So what's the word above here? This is, both of these are array lookups. Yeah. Yeah, so they're both the same process, just repeated. Other questions? Yes.
How does the OS know like how many levels of the page table, like how does it know if okay, we're done now, it's time to put the page offset on the
So the question is how does the OS know how many levels of page table there are? So I guess this is a part of the contract between the OS and the hardware. So this most common thing is the hardware will support a particular number of levels, and that's what you got to use. Sometimes the hardware might have this be configurable, in which case there will probably be like a register the OS sets to say which page table format does that want the hardware to use. Does that answer your question? Okay. Other questions? So this is kind of a very mechanical view. Maybe a more conceptual view we can get is this one. We can kind of think of our two-level page table lookup as a series of array accesses. We first have an access to our first level page table. This is kind of here, this is an array of PTEs, that's page table entries. And our second level access is another access in an array of PTEs. And then we have a final access in an array of bytes. So we can think of whenever we do a memory access, we're really doing three array lookups. One, two, and two arrays of page table entries, and one into an array of bytes to actually access the right byte or bytes of memory. And our base addresses for the array come from the page table base register or the previous array lookup. There's some translation for these addresses we saw, like to translate them from the physical page number format to the actual byte address format. And our indexes for the lookup are the virtual page number parts or the actual page offset. So that's another way we can view this multi-level lookup, which might be easier for you to think about, might not be. Questions? This view. Okay. And we can generalize this to more than two levels. So we'll just repeat the process we saw for the top levels, where we get the base address for the next step, you know, potentially more than multiple times. So as I mentioned, my laptop, it's four times. And then the last level gets us the actual page. And one terminology note, some people really like calling the parts of the virtual page numbers, that is not the correct term. The whole thing is the virtual page number. If you want to have a term for the individual parts, you might call them like the index, the first level index or something like that. And as I alluded, the assignment will have the multi-level lookup as the sort of second and third part. Yeah, a thing you need to do. And is one of the trickier parts of the assignment. So let's go through an example similar to what we started with, but with two levels. And to set this up, let's talk about some formats for this sort of example. So we're going to look at sort of a toy example that fits on the slide. So I'm going to have really small addresses. So I'm going to have 9-bit virtual addresses and 6-bit physical addresses. So 6-bit is what the example I did at the beginning of lecture had, or physical addresses. But our virtual addresses now have 3 extra bits. And I'm going to use an 8-byte page, which means that, like the example I had at the beginning of lecture, I have 3-bit page offsets. So my virtual addresses and physical addresses are split up where we have a 3-bit page offset, and the remainder of the address is a page number. And I'm going to have my page tables be 1 page long, meaning 8 bytes, with 1-byte entries. So my page tables have 8 entries. So they have indexes 0 through 7. And I'm going to have to use index 0 to 7 from the virtual page number to look up in these page tables. How does that work? Well, 0 to 7, that's 000 to 111. So I get to take 3-bit chunks out of my virtual page number for each level of lookup. So that means my virtual page number parts are going to be 3 bits. That perfectly divides my 6-bit virtual page number, which is fortunate. If it didn't, we'd have some questions. But fortunately, it perfectly divides it, so I know that we have The first part that's going to be used for the first level is bits 6 through 9, and then 3 through 6 are the second part. So that's our setup for sort of how our page table, or how our addresses work with our page tables. So now let's go through, because we have time, so let's figure out how this works in this example. So we have our page table here. I guess I'll go through the first example and we'll do the second. So this is our first level page table, because that's pointed to by the page table base register. And we have our virtual address is 129. If I write this out as a 9-bit number, that's 10010 1001. And remember that we divided up into a 3-bit virtual page number part 1, a 3-bit virtual page number part 2, and a 3-bit page offset. So we have our part 1, part 2, and page offset. So I want to do my array lookup for my first level. So array lookup is going to be a base address plus the part 1 times the PTE size, the array element size, which is 1. And that part 1, 100, is also known as the number 4. So our array address is 20 plus 4 times 1, or 0x24, which is this F4. Another way I could have found that out is I could say, oh, we have 1 byte array elements. The first index 0 is here, 1, 2, 3, 4. So 0xF4 is the value of our first level page table entry. And I'm going to decode that using this format here. And so my decoding is going to be that 0xF4 equals 1111 and 0100. The most significant bit is the most significant 3 bits are our physical page number. And then we have our valid bit. The valid bit is 1, so we keep going. We don't need to stop. And I have physical page number 111, so that tells me that the second level page table is in physical page number 7111. So where is that? So one way I can think of this is that this here, this is physical page 0, this is physical page 1, this is physical page 2. I'm just counting 8-byte parts of memory, right? This is our physical memory. It's divided into these 8-byte pages. And if I count up to 7, I will find out that this here is physical page 7. Now, counting all the way up there, like, it's plausible in this example, but if we have like a real memory with millions of physical pages, we probably don't want to do that. So a way we can think of that is that the address is going to be 101 times the page size, because we're counting by 8 bytes, so times 0 times 1 gets us advances by 8, times 2 advances by 16, like that gets us the next page. We advance by 8 to get the next one. Or alternately, it's 111 and then a page offset of 0. Okay. We want to get a physical address which has a page number and a page offset. We're going to fill in a page offset of 0. Either will get us the same answer of the address is going to be 111000 in binary, or that's going to be 0x38 is going to be our second level page table. And we want to do an array lookup in our second level page table. So we're going to say OX38 plus the base address. And I guess I should use color that might be seen. So the base address here times 1. And that's going to be, this address is 5, so we're going to get into here. That's OX3D, if I'm doing my calculations correctly. Then we decode that into a physical page number and a page offset and a valid bit. And I think I have this helpfully written out. So we get the value OXDC. And that gives us a physical page number of 110 and a valid bit of 1. We keep going. We take our physical page number and we combine it with the original page offset. And that tells us that the final address we want to access is this 0A. That's the value we're going to access. We're going to read or write that depending on what the program was trying to do with this virtual address. And I have a color-coded version of this in this slide. All the steps written out. So questions on any part of this? I think the thing I want to probably make sure I review is that notice that when we want to convert a page number to the sort of, this is the first address with physical page number 111, right? You have to get an address. Page numbers aren't a full address. So I converted my page number 111 to an address on page 111 by adding an offset of all zeros, which we can think of as multiplying by the page size or shifting. Same result, but the key idea is that our page number isn't the whole address. We can't just use it as is. We have to do this conversion first. But questions on any of the steps in this lookup process? Notably, the next slide is another one, so we should, yes. How would it be possible for the parts of the virtual page number to be different sizes? If that were the case, then this wouldn't be the case. We'd have some constraint like, so I guess an example of what actually happens is like it might be, we might have, instead of having this, we might have first level page table, you know, is 4 bytes. You know, second plus level are 8 bytes. Like we might do something like that. And in that case, if our first level is 4 bytes, that would mean we have 4 entries and we'd only use 2 bits to look up in there, but we would use 3 in all the others. That's typically what I've seen done when systems have that. And as for why would a processor choose to do that, an example of where this happens is on a 32-bit x86 system, they support a mode where page table entries are 8 bytes. And in that mode, the first level is a 3-level page table. The first level has 4 entries, and the other levels have 512 entries. And that just is needed because you have 32-bit virtual addresses. There's no way of dividing up the top 20 bits and still having most page tables be 512 entries. So that's what they did. Does that answer your question? Other questions? Okay, so let's do another exercise. So here we've changed the address and we've changed the page table base register. Okay, in the interest of time, I'll go through briefly my sort of worked out solution. So first thing I did is I split up the address into its pieces. Since it's the same as the previous problem, we know we have 3-bit virtual page number parts and a 3-bit offset. And I always take my pieces from sort of most significant to least significant for doing the lookup. So I'm going to take this upper part here. I'm going to take my base address and use that as the base of an array. And I'm going to take my page table entry size of 1 times my first index, which is 0, 1, 1, or 3. And I find out that I'm going to look up this BB here. That's my first page table entry. I decode that and find out it's physical page number 101 and valid. And so I'm going to look at virtual page 5, which is going to start at, you know, so this is 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So this is starts at address 28. I'm going to add my second part, which is 7. So this F0 here is our second page table entry. I decode that, and I found out it's physical page number 111, a valid bit of 1. I take that physical page number. I combine it with my page offset to get my final address of 0x3b, and that means I'm accessing this 0x0c value when I access this virtual address. So that's where I'm going to finish up today. We'll do a little review of this next time and then start talking about caching.